Welcome to Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program. My name is John Lovering, and I am your host. I'm going to be playing something on this track from a series called Earplay, which many of you may have heard because I have several of them. But Earplay was a pioneering radio drama anthology series on National Public Radio produced by WHA in Madison, Wisconsin. It aired from 1972 into the 1990s and was the longest-running series of its kind on NPR. It approached radio drama as an art form, featuring scripts by leading playwrights such as Edward Albee, Arthur Copit, Archibald MacLeish, David Mamet. The series was known for its high-quality stereo production and innovative sound techniques, providing a platform for both original and adapted works. The program began with a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts and was directed by Carl Schmidt. It faced initial challenges but eventually gained recognition and listeners, partly due to the contributions from renowned writers. Earplay was celebrated for its production values and was among the most ambitious radio projects in the United States during the 1970s and 80s. Alongside other notable series like the CBS Radio Mystery Theater and the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater. Earplay episodes were often presented weekly by NPR member stations and were produced with much attention to recording technique and sound effects. One of its notable triumphs was Listening, an original play written by Edward Albee specifically for stereo radio, which later transitioned to stage performances. The series really left behind a lasting legacy in the field of radio drama and storytelling. On this track, you're going to hear three very short stories that are very well done, and I think you're going to enjoy them. They're comedies. The first one is called Kindly Replace the Receiver. Okay, that's simple enough. The second one is called The Gentleman from Lincoln Center. The Gentleman from Lincoln Center. And the third one is called The Incinerator. The Incinerator. They're quite funny, although they're short. I'm sure you're going to enjoy them. Thanks for listening.
Kindly replace the receiver. A 6-minute play by Jean Valjean.
Mabel, dear.
Oh, Gunther. We're alone at last.
Oh, it's so wonderful to finally send the twins off to college. Now we can be alone after 20 years of marriage.
Oh, just think. We have the apartment to ourselves on our 20th anniversary.
I've been looking forward to this moment all the while the children were growing up.
You know, it was all right while they were babies. We could lock them in their room.
Even then, they'd cry so much we'd have to run in and carry them around.
Do you remember when they were a little older how they would break the bedroom door down when we didn't answer them?
No wonder we only had two children.
You know, we had more of each other when we were single.
Oh, you know, I think I'll get out of bed and make us a little drink. Oh, hello. Oh, hello, Mom. Yeah, I figured it was you. It's your mother.
Tell her I'll call her back.
She'll call you back, Mom. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, we're enjoying our 20th anniversary. Yes, we did make it, didn't we? Mom, we're somewhat busy now. Mabel will call you back, huh? Oh, no, we're just going to watch TV, that's all. No, set your mind at ease. Mom, I don't mean to be rude, but she's a big girl now. She'll call you back. Good night.
Gunther?
Oh, Mabel. Damn it.
Oh, no. Oh, I'll answer. Hello? Mother? Oh, Mother, stop crying.
If it isn't the twins, it's your mother.
Oh, you can't blame her. She worries about me.
Hang up.
I've got to go, Mother. Yes. No, don't worry, dear. No, you brought me up properly. I know how to handle myself.
Hang up.
Good night, Mother. I'll bring the laundry over tomorrow, okay? Good night.
I'm going to take the phone off the hook.
Oh, Gunther. You know, this reminds me of our courtship.
I think I'll make us that drink.
Oh, Gunther, I don't need a drink.
Oh, Mabel.
Have you been faithful to me all these years?
Oh, yes, yes, I swear I have.
Oh, I love you.
Recorded message.
What?
Please be on the alert. May I have your attention?
Who the hell is that?
This is the telephone company speaking. Your phone is off the hook.
Your phone?
Please replace the receiver. Now hear this. You are in violation of your telephone contract. Please replace the receiver.
What should we do?
Oh, ignore it. I love you so much. I've desired you so long that I can't hear anything but your voice.
Oh, Gunther, you are so masterful.
Don't speak. Just kiss me.
Replace the receiver. Kindly replace the receiver this instant.
Oh, shut up.
Put the phone back on the hook. Now hear this.
It's a nightmare. Just unbelievable. Try to ignore it, dear.
Now hear this.
I'm going out of my mind. How can I stay in a mood with all that noise?
I'll turn the radio on. It'll drown out the operator.
Oh. Oh, that's much, much better. Oh, Gunther, you know, you are so romantic. You know that I had quite forgotten.
Mabel.
Oh, Gunther.
We interrupt this program to make the following announcement. Will the telephone subscriber with the number 4538-7659-876-5432-4543 please replace the receiver?
I don't believe it.
The telephone company has requested us to make this announcement. Stop whatever you are doing and replace the receiver under penalty of law. I repeat, stop whatever you are doing and replace the receiver.
I'm going to turn the radio off and pull out the telephone cord. Mabel, this is it. Come here.
Gunther.
What's all that noise outside?
Oh, for heaven's sakes. I'll look out the window. Dear, it's the police. A crowd has gathered outside our window.
All right, we know you're in there. Listen carefully now. Open the door and let the telephone repairman in. Don't try anything funny.
Darling, I can't go on like this.
Oh, I won't give in. They'll have to come and get me.
Your children, the twins, are here, and your mother, to dissuade you from your course of action. Open the door now. Listen to the pleas of your children.
Gunther, give it up for the twins.
All right, let them in.
Come in, children.
Mom, Dad, they pulled us off the train.
I know, Skeeter. Hello, Dibby.
Mom, what made you do it?
We lost our head.
Since the train has left, we'll have to stay overnight.
But that's okay, Mommy. Grandma and Grandpa are downstairs so we can have a big anniversary party for you. Come on in!
Oh, my God.
Kindly replace the receiver by Jean Valjean. The actors were Jack Bivens, Mary Scowell, Bonnie Catcher, Martha Van Cleef, Mark Corbell, and Joe Grant. Directed by Carl Schmidt. Produced at WHA by Earplay, under a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The Gentleman from Lincoln Center, a 7-minute play by Jean Valjean.
Isn't Lincoln Center lovely this time of night?
Yes. Spencer, I want to thank you for a lovely evening.
Aw, it was my pleasure, Astrid. I only wish we could spend every night together, and every day.
But that's impossible, Spencer. It isn't that I'm not fond of you, but I want to play the field a little before I settle down.
I know, dear. The modern emancipated woman needs to accumulate a number of affairs before consummating a marriage.
Spencer, how would it look to the man I marry if I were virginal?
Oh, I agree. That would be unforgivable.
Then you do understand. Well, there's nothing personal in it.
Of course not. There is no room for personal feelings in contemporary interpersonal relationships.
Yes. Think of me as your brother.
Oh.
That's why I wanted to go Dutch tonight, but you wouldn't hear of it.
No, I prefer to pay for your dinner and the concert.
Yes. Well, who's this guy?
I beg your pardon, but this is a holdup.
A holdup?
Well, I suppose this means we'll have to support the president's law and order legislation.
Oh, dear.
No cause for alarm. In the Lincoln Center District, we never take part in any mugging or knifing or stomping or, for that matter, any form of violence. It's restricted, you know.
Oh, thank God for that. Oh, my.
Of course, as a result, it is a bit more expensive.
Oh, I realize that. You get what you pay for.
Yes. Cheap is expensive.
I'm happy that you understand. It's a pleasure doing business with you.
Yeah, it's so comforting. To know that we're in good hands. How much do I owe you?
$50.
That is a bit steep.
Shh, but dear, this is Lincoln Center. It's not McDougal Street.
Don't remind me of McDougal Street. That terrible man there threw me down and broke my arm when he grabbed my shoulder strap purse.
And all he got was $6.
There's no such thing as a bargain.
You're right. This way I'll save money by not having my arm in a sling again. And the x-ray.
That's right. And in addition, you'll receive a souvenir of Lincoln Center. A little charm for your bracelet.
Oh, isn't that nice? Now, Spencer, you paid for the flowers and the dinner and the concert. Let me take care of this.
I won't hear of it.
No, please, I insist.
No, I'll take care of it.
Are you sure?
Put away your money. Let's see here. 12... 13, 15,
oh,
18. Oh, dear. I'm a bit short.
Spencer.
I only have $20 with me.
Oh, dear.
My. Oh, dear God.
Spencer, do you want me to advance you $30? You could pay it back at your leisure. As long as it's before the 15th.
I asked for it. I won't hear of it. sir, I don't suppose you take personal checks. Do you?
I'm sorry. We've had some trouble with them.
I see. Oh, dear. Oh, this is somewhat embarrassing. Do you honor American Express credit cards?
I am sorry.
Really, Spencer? You knew you were taking me out tonight. You might have come prepared.
I'm sorry, Astrid.
Do you have a Diners Club card?
Yes. Do you accept that?
Of course.
Oh, well, here it is. You take it. Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, what a relief. I really didn't relish standing out here all night. After all, it's getting late, and I have so many things to do before going to bed.
I'll make it out for $50.
Fine.
Have to take a facial sauna, put
up
my hair, do my isometrics and my nails, read a chapter of the Kama Sutra.
Oh, and it's customary for me to add 15% for a tip.
Oh, naturally. You go right ahead, of course.
I have to wake up early tomorrow. Conferences and board meetings. Spencer, I hope you don't mind if I don't go through all that kissing business at my door.
It's just as well. My lips are chapped.
I have to wash my stockings and apply egg cream to my face.
There you are, sir. Thank you very much, and don't be a stranger.
Oh, yes. We certainly must come this way more often. Goodbye, sir.
Wait, don't go.
What is it you want?
I almost forgot. You're entitled to a souvenir of Lincoln Center.
Oh, Yes, an official souvenir.
Please, dear, let's get out of here. Oh.
Oh, my, yes. It was stolen directly from their own warehouse. I've got them someplace here. Oh, Spencer, would you mind holding my gun for me?
Hold your gun?
I've got them someplace here. Oh, yes. Here they are. You see, they're little charms in the shape of musical instruments. Aren't they lovely?
I can't seem to make up my mind. I like the flugelhorn, but I also like the piccolo.
Why don't you take the piccolo this time, and next time you can select the flugelhorn?
Yes, yes, yes. Oh. Do that, and let's go. We don't want to be a bother to this man.
No, I'm going to choose the glockenspiel. Oh, isn't this lovely? See the little mallet, Spencer?
It's beautiful. Exquisite. Take it. Take it.
Look, you can play a tune on it.
It's an E flat.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. I'll take my gun back now, Spence.
Oh, yes, yes. Here, take it.
Well, good night, Astrid.
Good night.
Good night, Spence. I hope you don't mind my running off in a hurry. This is my busy night.
Oh, go right ahead. I don't want to hold you up.
Gentlemen from Lincoln Center by Jean Valjean. The actors were Bunny Catcher, Jack Bivens, and Bob Hartenberger. Carl Schmidt directed. Produced at WHA by Earplay under a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The Incinerator, an 8-minute play by Jean Valjean.
Well, Mrs. Snod, we meet again.
How do you do, Mr. Beeble?
May I hold the incinerator door open for you?
Well, thank you. It's such a small opening. Well,
that's why you should use smaller garbage bags. I do.
Well, I always tell Henry, Mr. Snod, not to fill them so full.
I know. I can hear you from our apartment next door.
I have to extract each piece by hand and throw it down.
Oh, you've got your hand full of coffee grounds and eggshells.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Ooh, does Mr. Snod drink these? Gablinger's beer?
Well, he had some last night.
Yes. He had 12. 14.
Oh, my. This looks like my pudding.
Smells good.
Henry must have dumped it into the garbage when I wasn't looking.
The sneak.
Oh, he's such a fussy eater, you know.
I don't know how he could resist that.
You know, it took half an hour to prepare it. He always says he likes it every night.
You must give my wife the recipe. What's it called?
Passionella di amore.
It's rather interesting the way the garbage forms patterns. Notice the little forms that emerge as the pickles and asparagus meld with the strawberry scallions and cornflakes.
Against a backdrop of napkins and melon rinds.
You are holding in your hands a collage.
Oh, I shouldn't even be allowing you to see my garbage. It's so messy.
Oh, no, Mrs. Snod. I think your garbage is special.
Do you think so? Do you really think so?
I've been meaning to tell you this for a long time.
Well, thank you. You're embarrassing me.
You know, Mrs. Snod, it's no accident our meeting here like this so often.
Oh, well, I had guessed that.
I listened for you to come out here, sometimes for hours.
I know.
Then why do you wait so long? You could take out smaller bags.
Well, Henry never buys any, you see. He says we should use our shopping bags.
Do you think he suspects?
Oh, no. He'd be the last to know.
I save up my garbage for when you come out.
I've noticed, since you only bring out a few items at a time.
Sometimes I even run out of things to throw out.
I thought it rather curious, your throwing out the Monopoly set last week.
You saw.
I saw, Mr. Beeble.
And I don't know what Paula will say when she notices the frozen pot roast is missing.
Oh, you really shouldn't have done all that for me.
I'd do it again. I wish they had places you could buy garbage.
Well, I hardly know what to say.
It's gotten so that whenever I scrape the dinner remains, I think of you.
Oh, Mr. Beeble, it's the same with me.
But I think of you often, not only at garbage times.
I must confess that I hear your voice through the wall, and in my imagination, you are talking to me.
You imagine that?
Well, perhaps I shouldn't have told you that, but that's...
But it's the very thing that I think.
Oh.
Lately, I've taken to standing by the wall so that I can hear your voice better.
Oh, well, me too. You see, Henry sometimes even asks me, why are you standing by the wall? Well,
come to think of it, I have heard him say that quite often.
Well, do you realize when we're standing like that next to the wall, we're practically next to each other?
Unbeknownst to our mates.
Oh, Mr. Beeble, do you think it's wrong?
I don't care. Put down your garbage and kiss me.
Oh, not here. The neighbors.
The hell with the neighbors.
Oh, Mr. Beeble.
Oh, Mrs. Snout.
Oh, I love you. I have from the start.
For me, it all started downstairs in the laundry room.
When I lent you my detergent.
I had been using that other brand.
Oh, I felt so sorry for you. You know, your shirts were all yellow.
Now I even like to smell my clean laundry. I had never done that before.
I love you, Mr. Beeble.
And I love you, Mrs. Snout.
To think of how many times we would meet in the elevator.
And make idle conversation about the weather.
But underneath, you were saying quite something else.
Was it the way I said it?
Oh, yes. You'd say, hot enough for you.
And how did you suspect I meant something else?
In January?
Oh, I'm glad I made a clean breast of it.
I thought you'd never get around to it.
I feel like goosebumps all over me. My arms, my legs.
Oh, dear. I feel something on my legs.
Oh, I think it's the Gablingers. Your bag is leaking.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, what a mess. But
oh,
who
dear.
Cares? I'm in love.
Oh, it's so am I. We'll use your bag. You never have any garbage anyway.
It's all right. I'll empty it. It's my pillow.
Oh, Mr. Peep. You were willing to throw away your pillow for my sake?
What's the difference? I can't sleep anyway listening to you breathing in the next room.
You snore.
Paula told me.
Hand me that apple core, please.
First, let me drop this in. I've gathered up all this stuff in my hands.
Thank you.
It looks like sand. What is it?
It's kitty litter. I keep it in the cat's duty box.
I see.
Well, that does it. Here goes.
Where do we go from here?
I don't know. Are we doing the right thing? I feel so unclean.
We were meant for one another, Mrs. Snow.
Oh, I can't go through with it. We can't go on meeting like this.
Then I suppose you'll go back to your apartment, and I'll go back to mine.
Well, you don't expect me to ask a man into my apartment, do you?
Of course not. What do you take me for?
Well, I guess I'll be on my way then. I won't look back. I couldn't do that.
Would you like to come into my apartment?
All right.
The Incinerator by Jean Valjean. The actors were Mary Scoil and Jack Bivens, directed by Carl Schmidt. Produced at WHA by Earplay, under a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.